Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're studying about Paul and his speech to the elders at Miletus that he'd come down from Ephesus. And we've come to that point in Acts chapter 20 and verse 29 where he warned of grievous wolves entering on the flock and some from among them own selves drawing away disciples after them. We'll be looking at that text and examining in detail those words in just a moment. In the meantime, I want to invite you to I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at our text, Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30. I know that after my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. We have seen how grievous wolves enter in, not sparing the flock. Many care more for the fleece than they do for the flock. Another danger is from within. Men like to be leaders, hence elders are forbidden of the Lord to lord it over the charge allotted to them. Hence, from among your own selves, that is, from among the very elders, shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. This soon came to pass, as it came to pass at Ephesus. Paul wrote to Timothy later at Ephesus to charge certain ones not to teach a different doctrine or other false things, and to teach the proper conduct and support of the elders. For this reason, he again exhorts the elders to watch and to remember that by the space of 3 years, he ceased not to admonish every one night and day with tears. This is a grand and wonderful example at the present time, when so many are departing from the faith and introducing into the worship of God and work of His church so many things, untaught things. All the faithful teachers should cease not to admonish everyone night and day with tears. We read in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 31, "Wherefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to teach and admonish every one night and day with tears." And then in verse 32, "And I now commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all them that are sanctified." Paul commended these elders to God and to the word of His grace. There were no Christians in Ephesus until the word of God was first preached there. Aquila and Priscilla taught Apollos the way of God more accurately, Acts 18:26. And so Paul taught 12 others, Acts 19:1-7. "And they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks," verse 10. "And there mightily grew the word of the Lord and prevailed," in Acts 20 and verse 20, or in Acts 19:20. These elders had heard and obeyed the word of God, and thus had become Christians. And it was their all-sufficient guide in their duties of elders, and was able to build them up and prepare them for the inheritance in heaven, which awaits the sanctified. Sanctification is no mysterious, instantaneous, better felt than told transformation into sinless perfection, but it means set apart to the service of God. We read in 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 2 that all Christians are saints, and therefore they are sanctified. They become Christians and are sanctified through the truth, John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And they are built up by the truth in the service of God and prepared for the inheritance here mentioned. Paul was unselfishly pure and not covetous in his work, and he worked with his own hands. Let me read to you from Acts chapter 20 and verse 33 and through verse 35. I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye yourselves know that these hands ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. In all things I gave you an example, that so laboring you ought to help the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. A whole sermon could be written on this important subject. Paul sought their souls, not their money. Some people suppose that godliness is a way of gain, 1 Timothy 6:5, and make merchandise of the gospel, 2 Peter 2 and verse 3. But this was not the case with Paul. A grander, more independent, and more self-sacrificing man never lived. Paul called them to witness that he had not been dependent on the church at Ephesus for support, but had worked with his own hands at tent-making to sustain himself and his co-laborers. For Paul waived the right to support from different churches while laboring with them. Also, he forwent his right to marry, 1 Corinthians 9, verses 1 through 19. Not only in working with his hands, but in all things, Paul was an example. Thus, he forcibly taught them the important lesson that they should so work as to help the weak. Generosity and liberality are embraced in the whole counsel of God, and the preacher who does not teach this subject as fully and earnestly as the New Testament teaches it fails to declare the whole counsel of God. And the preacher who does not do this with the same motive which prompted Paul has not the right spirit. Paul would have them remember that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. All should learn and remember this now. The preacher who does not teach this does not teach all that Jesus taught. This is the only place where this statement of Jesus is just in this language as recorded, yet none doubt that he said it. Now, at the conclusion of this most powerful and solemn speech, it was appropriate to pray. We read in Acts chapter 20, verses 36 through 38, and when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the word which he had spoken, that they should behold his face no more. And they brought him on his way into the ship. Paul knelt with them on the seashore and prayed. Why did they kneel? Why not stand? Well, kneeling was an attitude taken then by Christians in prayer. Stout-hearted men wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. This sorrow was produced by Paul's words that they would see his face no more. These affectionate farewells, having been spoken, they accompanied Paul to the ship. That concludes this Sunday school lesson. I turn the little page in my Sunday school book and I find that the next lesson was written for the Sunday schools of November the 25th, 1925. It's about Paul's arrest in Jerusalem. The lesson text is Acts chapter 21, verses 37 through 39. And when the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the multitude and laid hands on him, crying out, Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place. And moreover, he brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath defiled this holy place. For they had before seen with him in the city Trophimus, the Ephesian, whom they supposed Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and all the people ran together. And they lay hold on Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and straightway the doors were shut. And as they were seeking to kill him, tidings came up to the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in confusion. And forthwith he took soldiers and centurions and ran down upon them. And they, when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, left off beating Paul. Then the chief captain came near and lay hold on him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and inquired who he was and what he had done. And some shouted one thing, some another among the crowd. And when they could not know the certainty for the uproar, he commanded him to be brought into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the crowd. And the multitude of people followed after, crying out, "Away with him!" And as Paul was about to be brought into the castle, he said to the chief captain, "May I say something unto thee?" And he said, "Dost thou know Greek? Art thou not the Egyptian who before these days stirred up to sedition and led out to the wilderness the 4,000 men, the assassins?" But Paul said, "I'm a Jew of Tarsus in Cilicia, a city of no mean city, and I beseech thee, give me leave to speak unto the people." The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is 1 Peter 4 in verse 16. "If any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify in this name." The devotional reading is the 122nd Psalm. This psalm is called a Psalm of Ascents of David. "I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of Jehovah. Our feet are standing within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, thou art builded as a city that is compacted together, whether the tribes grow up, even the tribes of Joseph, for an inheritance for Israel, to give thanks unto the name of Jehovah. For there are set thrones for judgment, and thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, Peace be within thee. For the sake of the house of Jehovah our God, I will seek thy good." In the geographical note, we trace Paul's journey from Miletus to Jerusalem. The ship on which his company sailed made a straight course from Miletus to Cus, a small island, and the next day to Rhodes, a town on the island of Rhodes. At Rhodes stood a great brazen statue, Colossus, one of the seven wonders of the world. From Rhodes the ship sailed to Patara, the city of the coast of Lycia. Changing ships at Patara for a vessel crossing into Phoenicia, Paul and his company sailed for several days and nights, not weighing anchor, leaving Cyprus, and left there for the north, and came into Syria, and landed at Tyre. Tyre is a very important city of Old Testament history, and is frequently mentioned in the New Testament. They tarried with the disciples at Tyre for 7 days, which included a Lord's Day, on which no doubt the disciples, as at Troas, met to break bread. The ship went from Tyre to Ptolemais, a seaport only a short distance from Tyre. Here it seems the ship ended its voyage. Hence Paul and his company went by land a distance of about 35 or 40 miles to Caesarea. And from Caesarea they went up to Jerusalem. The brethren at Jerusalem gladly received Paul, and as gladly accepted the contribution he and his companions bore. And he was afraid that they would not do so. And if Paul had visited Jerusalem in Acts chapter 18, as the language indicates, then this is the fifth and last time he came to this city.